Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're on part 101 on how to have God's life living in you, and this is program number 203. And we'll tell you how to receive a copy of this program at the end of the program. And you can get your paper and pencil ready, so you can take down the four different ways there are to receive the program. It's absolutely free, and we pay for postage and handling as well. If you need a Bible, we'll send you one as well. That's also free of charge, postage and handling paid for, and as well, literature and tapes and aside books. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord, and Lord, I ask you to anoint this program. Let everything that is said in the program be not from me, but from you. Lord, take my vessel over, my mouth, my tongue, and let the people know what it is that they need to do in order to be saved and to have you living in them, and what it is that you want us to do. You stated that a wise man built his house on strong ground, or the solid rock in other places. And that solid rock or the solid ground is your word. To read it and do what it says. But a fool is one who reads the word and doesn't do what it says. That's like building themselves to live in a hut on top of the ground. And when the winds or the persecution, trials and tribulations comes, the hut is utterly destroyed. You bought us with your precious blood. You took all of our former sins away, and then you tell us to go and sin no more. And then there are false prophets today, Lord, that are telling people to go and sin some more. But you tell them that if they do, it's like a dog going back to its vomit, or a pig, a sow going back to its wallowing in the mire. I thank and praise you, Lord, for your word and for the ability for us to communicate with you on a daily basis, that we are able to be led by your Spirit because you help us in a time of need. Help me now, Lord, in a time of need. Take me completely over so that this church can be strengthened and that souls can be saved. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus, in you, Father, our Jesus, the spirit that was in Jesus the man, and now you the man, Jesus, have been exalted above every creature on the face of this earth or in heaven. You are made a little lower than the angels for a while, just for a brief while. 33.5 years. The last year being the worst. But yet you endured, seeing that which was laid out before your eyes, before even the foundation of the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have some letters as well. Where's the first letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay, do you want to read it?
Yes.
Right over here.
Okay. Dear Tony Alamo, praise the Lord. I pray that everything is well with you. Everything is well with me. My soul magnifies the Lord God, and my spirit has rejoiced in Jesus, my Savior. When I hear the name Tony Alamo, I immediately think of the author who is known for his ability to put profound biblical truth in readable, understandable, and memorable language. This ability is on display in the booklet called The Messiah and Newsletters. I have seen your passion for communicating the truth of God's word to people of all ages. You do not forget how it was before you got saved. That is why you are able to help many so they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your ministry is stationed near the door to help those who are blindly groping for the door out of their sin, loneliness, fear, guilt, anxiety, and agony. I will be so happy if you send literature, Bibles, and whatever you are able to send to help me win souls, and I pray this to be on a regular basis. The need is great. I do not know if you can help us with church building because the souls are many and we are just using a school classroom. My needs include anything which is necessary for life, but I always look on your burden of preaching to the whole world. Yours in Christ, Brother Lupambo from Mansa, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is the author of the Bible. A lot of people say, well, we dispute whether it's the Apostle Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, but it was Paul that God used to write that book, and he was the author of the literature that I have written as well. And so, therefore, to God be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll do as much as we can. You know, you ought to be happy that you have a classroom to preach the gospel and teach the gospel in, because when Sue and I first started, we didn't have anything but an old shack. And then the first church that we had was a former dope den. We went in there and preached the gospel to all of them upon our invitation to go there. We would never have gone over unless they had invited us. We won two or three of the souls from that dope den, and then they said, if we tell them to flush all the pot and pills down the toilet, would you come over and preach the gospel to us? There's a bunch of us living over there. And we said, sure, if you'll do that. And if they'll abide, you know, by what we're telling them, we don't allow any talking during the services, but if they have any questions to ask, we'll answer the questions after the service, and they agreed. So we went over there, and every single soul in that big house was saved, and that's a revival kicked off in that house. And then we were overflowing with people in there. We said we'd give them some little gospel pieces of literature, and we'd send them down and invite them to come to services, and they were all hippies. And so they were able to communicate very well with the other hippies on the streets, and pretty soon we were known for having the hippie church. And they began getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and the police officers came over, and they thought they were on some new kind of a drug, and started beating them over the head with billy clubs and flashlights. And they were so under the anointing that they didn't even know that they were being beaten up. And Sue and I went in and told them, no, they are not on drugs. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And these were a bunch of Irish Catholic cops, and they didn't even know what we were talking about. But we told them to read the book of Acts in the Bible, and if you want, we'll read it to you and explain it to you what's happening here. This is a supernatural thing that's going on in this church, in this house. And they hauled a bunch of us off to jail, Sue and myself and a bunch of these young hippie converts, born-again Christians, filled with the Spirit. And we took them around to different other churches and missions in an attempt to try to get them to donate some finances to us, because nobody liked these people that were... People were praying for a revival, and because it turned out to be a bunch of hippies and drug addicts, they didn't want to accept them. They had to have haircuts before they'd accept them, in real nice clothing, and drive new cars, and live in nice homes, and have full bellies. But we knew that they were of the Lord, and therefore we took them around. And some people, a couple of places, were benevolent. They didn't want anything to do with them. And then when we became, some of them gave us enough money to pay the rent for a month, and then Sue and I would go to the back of supermarkets and tell them, look, we're winning all these hippies to the Lord. These drug addicts are coming off of drugs. And if you have any day-old stuff that you want to get rid of, we surely appreciate it because we've got several hundred of them over there. And then it built up to many hundreds of them. And some of the supermarkets were favorable, and they'd give us some loaves of bread, and then we'd scrape up enough money somewhere. Now, here, after I had made millions and millions of dollars, even at that time, I owned a Beatles album that has never been released. I received it. I got it from Pete Best, the original drummer of the Beatles, and because I did a promotion for him. I actually did his promotion and got several million pounds for him. And then also a promotion that I did for this a little later on for a singer named Earl Vaughn, where we got enough money out of that to buy a home in Zuma Beach. But there's so much to talk about of the former things that I did, but it's not really that necessary. But I'm just saying how we started out. We didn't have a classroom. We had an old dope den. And we had nothing before that. We just went out on the streets and witnessed and testified. And won souls there. We're praying them through, many of them every day on the streets. And so if you have a classroom or a house or something, be happy and praise and thank the Lord for it, and just keep going on, and God will open doors for finances in other ways. We never had anybody give us any large amount of money, except later on, back in about 1968, or 69 it was, that Elvis Presley gave us some money. Because I knew Elvis before, and I knew a lot of people in the entertainment industry, and he gave it to us anonymously, $40,000, and he gave us also $700 one time when we needed money for the rent. And so when I get these letters of people that want to open up, want us to finance their churches, we've been going at this for 41 and a half, almost three quarters of a year now. And only as of recent, say maybe 2 years ago, did the Lord start pouring finances in enough to where we could share some of the money that we have with others, such as people that are poor and needy here in the United States and over in Africa, and India, and Philippines, and several other places. We're at around 200 countries now. And if you'll just allow the Lord to let you go through the fire, what fire would you possibly go through if we went and if I would get you a church and pay for it? The money that we have is for winning souls, and we'll definitely send you all the Bibles you need, and the literature and tapes. Okay, so now where's the next letter from?
Mexico.
Where in Mexico?
From Tabasco, Mexico.
Tabasco, Mexico. Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Pastor Lamo, I like to listen to your messages because this is how God speaks to our lives. From Pedro in Tabasco, Mexico.
Praise the Lord. He listens to the radio program, I guess. All right, praise the Lord. Now, what else?
From India. Dear Brother Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for your parcel. I have received your newsletters and Bibles. Thank you so much. I have been distributing your newsletters. It was a tremendous job that your newsletters and books touch the hearts and people ask more questions about Christ. Once again, thank you for them. Your brother in Christ, Davi, from CB, India.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I had millions of questions to ask about the Bible. And Every time I read the Bible, this is going after 41 and three quarters of a year. I just keep learning more and more all the time. And so there's no way that people are going to be able to know the entire truth, or the entire, which is Jesus, which is the entire Bible, for years. And that's why the Lord keeps it interesting. Every time, if you pray prayerfully read the Bible, you're going to be getting something new every time you read it. If you, when the Lord tells you to read here, a lot of times I say, "Oh Lord, you know, I just got through reading," but I do it anyway. Nevertheless, Lord, I'll read there, and it always, like, the Lord opens something new to me every time. Okay, now here's Sharon to read something that I just did on tape today, and they typed it up. Okay, go ahead.
I'm talking about the book of Hebrews here. There are five words that will cause you to pause, and it should launch you out on a new adventure in worshiping of the Lord. Those five words are, Sir,
I would see Jesus, right?
Right.
Okay. That's the thing that the book of Hebrews wants to teach us, is that by reading that book, if you really digest it properly into your spirit, you'll see that you'll be able to see Jesus a lot better than you did before. Okay, keep going.
These five words could summarize the message of the letter to the Hebrews. All those that are really Christians, that are born again of the Spirit, actually do pursue the Christian life. We do that by, quote, keeping our eyes on Jesus, unquote.
Absolutely focused on Him. Because really, that's the wisdom of God, is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus, because Jesus is the wisdom and power of God. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have wisdom. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have power to enter heaven. Okay, then what?
We do that by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends.
Yeah, our faith, I mean, we depend on Jesus. And if you have faith, your faith is depending on Jesus to get you, keep you upheld, just as He upholds the entire universe. And if He upholds this earth by no visible means, He will uphold you, and it will be by means of an invisible force, which is the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God is spirit and it's life. And so, but the more you read the Word of God, the more you'll be upheld through all your trials and tribulations. Then what?
And it depends on our faith from start to finish.
Right. Once we get saved, in order to be saved, we have to have faith, and we have to continue in faith to the finish, to the finito. Okay, then what?
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2.
Okay, 12:2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
The beginning and the finishing of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
From start to finish. Then what?
Worship is the setting in which the Church of Jesus Christ most clearly focuses on God's Word.
Right. If you're not worshiping the Lord, you don't know Him. Okay? And there are several aspects of how to worship the Lord and why you should worship the Lord. Then what?
God's Word is His majesty and power.
Yes. His. Why do I say that? It's His majesty and power, because His Word is the power that upholds everything, and it's majestic because it is the entire earth and the universe. And if the Word of God is in you, it is the power to uphold you and the majesty to uphold you. Okay, then what?
God's Word is His sacrifice for sin.
Right. Well, what do you mean by God's Word is His sacrifice for sin? Because God sacrificed His Word that whosoever believe in Him should have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Well, His Word is Jesus. The Bible plainly tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. So he sacrificed his Word, that whosoever believes the Word, the whole Word of God, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's why the Bible states that if a person reads the Word and doesn't do what it says, they're like fools. They're like an old shack that cannot withstand storms, that it's impossible for them to put up with trials and tribulations. So the way that the elements of the world destroy shacks. But if you build your life on the majesty and power of God, then that will uphold you. The majesty and power of God is Jesus, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
How do you say His Word is the sacrifice for sin?
Well, I say it because Jesus is the Word, and He sacrificed Himself, the Word, and He did what the Word said to show us that that's what we have to do as well. And anyone that tells you anything other than that is a devil, a liar, a lying devil. Then what?
It's because,
read that line again.
Okay. How do you say His Word is the sacrifice for sin? It's because the Word is Christ. So His sacrifice for sin and His intercession in behalf of His people, not other people, but just His people.
Right. He's not for you if you're rebellious to do His will. But He's the intercessor for His people to God. You can't get to God but through Jesus, the Word. Okay, then what?
All of these are the subject matter of the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, the Word of God is the subject matter, and the power and the dominion and the glory is the Word and the majesty. Okay, what else?
Or it could be called the letter.
Yeah, well, they call it the letter they say this, no one knows who wrote it, but I know it's Paul. But the actual author is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Why should you wonder who the author is? This is such a deep and powerful book. You know that it's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because why? Because the majesty and the power of it will uphold you when you feel like sinning, when you're tempted. Now, Jesus was tempted in every way. That means if you've seen pornography, Jesus saw pornography, but it didn't. He resisted it. Amen?
Amen.
It didn't turn him on. And he knew everything. The devil tempted him with everything on the face of this earth. And so therefore, if you have seen pornography and it disgusted you or everything, that doesn't mean that you've sinned, because Satan will flash these things at you. But we've been called and we're upheld by the majesty and power of His Word to resist it. Amen?
Amen.
So that's all there is to that. You have the power now available to you, and the majesty of God, and the superiority of Christ over the angels. This book states that Jesus is superior to the angels. He's superior to Jonah. He's superior to Abraham. He's superior to Isaac and Jacob. He is God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And because of them, we are not to neglect coming together with other worshipers.
Okay, read the line before, and because of them.
It's because the Word is Christ, so His sacrifice for sin and His intercession in behalf of His people, not other people, but just His people. All of these are the subject matter of the book of Hebrews, or it could be called the letter.
Right. The Lord is intercedes for us, like, because of the fact that God the Father sees Jesus in us, when we go up to the throne of God, it's the Jesus in us that makes it possible, and the blood of Jesus on our souls, and the lack of the completely void, our soul void of sin, makes it possible for us to be able to reach the throne of God and makes it possible. So that's the intercession, is Jesus. And that's why Mary could never be our intercessor. She's not deity, and she never spilled her blood or died on the cross has the power to put her spirit in you to resurrect you from the dead, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Well, what about your mother? Can't we come to the throne, Jesus, by your mother? No, only by me, saith the Lord. Anyone attempting to get to the throne of God other than by me is a thief and a robber, and no thief or robber shall enter the kingdom of God. A thief and a robber, the Bible says, is the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And because of them, we are not to neglect coming together with other worshipers. Chapter 10, verse 25.
Right, so that's why, because of the fact that he intercedes for all of his people, that's why we're not to neglect worshiping together. Okay? Now, if there's animosity, if there's some kind of false people in the congregation that are giving false reports, and they hate the people that are helping the church leaders or the leaders on the face of this earth that God lives in, well, that person is of the devil. We have people like when God put Buster in this church to help me out. After all, I had been going for 40 years in this church, and I had a helpmate, but God took her 24 years ago, April 8th, 1982. And since then, I've really, it was just the Lord and myself and certain people in the church helped some, but they weren't able to help. They were not anointed to help as much as Buster is helping me. I'm not saying that other people in church don't help me, because they certainly do. They work hard. There's a lot of people that are really saved and they work hard. But then there are some in the church that are doing everything they can to try to destroy Buster's soul and to cause him a lot of trouble. And these troublemakers will be made to leave if they don't leave him alone. Okay? So that's just the way it is. It's either God's way, which is my way, or the highway. Amen?
Amen.
Then just get out on the highway. Then what else?
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25.
Right.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
And the day is at hand. All right, then what?
In order to continuously offer our sacrifice of praise to God by proclaiming the glory of his name. Chapter 13, verse 15.
There are so many things the glory of his name, that means the glory of his word that upholds all things. Amen?
Amen.
He upholds the universe. So if he can uphold the universe because it is under the control of his spirit, then if we're under the control of his spirit, we're uplifted to the point to where we're just as even more dynamic than the sun and the moon and the stars. Because the moon, sun, moon, and stars are not in the body of Christ. We are. If we keep his commandments. But we're nothing but trash. The Bible calls goats, chaff to be burned. If we neglect letting the word uphold us. Then what?
Chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
But why? There are many reasons that I've listed here of why we must praise his name. Because we have communion with him, and that is something, you know, that you're able to communicate with God, because you certainly, if you're not saved, don't have the ability to do that. Okay, go ahead then.
The author of Hebrews is the Apostle Paul. Maybe Luke had something to do with it, but Paul was the predominant speaker here, or scribe. That book develops a picture of Christ and his work that is taken from the imagery and the structure of Israelite worship.
Right. The actual author is, and Paul ascribes the authorship of that book to God himself, Jesus himself. God wrote it. Jesus is the actual Word of God. And he's the one that created everything and has sustained everything through these years. If in the beginning he created the sun, moon, the stars, the earth, and everything in it, and you see that they're still going. He sustained it all. Amen. Right up to this day. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
So if he sustained it for all these years, why would he not be able to sustain you for however amount of years that you've got left on this earth? Amen?
Amen.
He can sustain you. He created you, and he can sustain you. He created the entire universe, and he has sustained it until these last days. Good point. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Jesus is the Son of God through whom he has spoken to create and sustain all things.
Read that again. I just got through saying it. I thought I would forget it. That's why I put it down.
Jesus is the Son of God through whom...
Through the Son of God. And by whom, okay, through whom...
He has spoken.
He has spoken. In other words, the Word. God has spoken the Word. And when he did, everything was created. Amen?
Amen.
Let there be light, and there was light. Amen?
Amen.
And it's still there. Amen?
Amen.
So he created and sustained it. Okay, keep going.
Through whom he has spoken to create and sustain all things.
All things mean that means you, if you'll live by his word. What does it mean to live by his word? Because, in other words, what does it mean to go to town by being in your car, in your automobile? It means you have to be into the automobile, amen? And you want to be sustained and long enough to so where you can go to heaven, you have to be in the word. So the word, get in the vehicle, the word, amen, into Jesus, and let Jesus go, with the Father by the Spirit, enter into you. This is what this message is all about, is how to have God's life living in you. His life is forever, amen, forevermore.
Amen.
Then what?
Not only did God with Christ create everything by him, the word, but he also has sustained all these things. That's why I say that Christ, if people are in the Word, will sustain, not only
will be sustained, they will be, they'll be together. And the Bible says that the Word keeps everything that God created cohesive. It all sticks together. Amen?
Amen.
It's the cohesiveness, the glue, that keeps you together. Now you see some women and men, you know, when there's a full moon, it affects them. Because they're not glued right. They don't have the Word of God in them. Amen?
Amen.
They don't depend from the beginning of their faith to the end of their faith in the Word of God, Jesus. Okay, then what? This is how you want. I'm trying to teach you how to stay saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because any of these people that says, oh, you know, the Lord... when he saves you, you're sealed in. That's just a dirty lie. There's one scripture after the other, and I'll show you right here in the book of Hebrews where it says, if you continue on in the faith, you will be saved. But if you do not, you will not be saved. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Those who sustain are sustained by the word of God to the end shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That's why I say that Christ, if people are in the Word, will sustain, not only save you and create a new person in you, but he will be able to sustain you as he has all things, which is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3.
Yeah, but he will uphold all things. Okay, so read chapter 1, verse 1 through 3.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by
what
the prophets.
What are the diverse ways that the Lord has spoken to people? Huh? Through 66 different prophets. Amen?
Amen.
That's a lot of ways. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then plus all the works that were done by them. Okay? That's diverse, different ways. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath...
He upholds everything by the word of his power. So if you have his word in you and you keep reading the word into you every day, then you'll be upheld just like the sun, moon, and the stars, and the earth, and everything else that is upheld by God's word. All right? So you... Everything is under the control of the Lord except human beings. And the only way that human beings can be under the control of the power of his word is to read the word and have it in you. It's a very simple process. Amen?
Amen.
You know how to eat food for your necessary for your body. Well, then learn to depend on the word of God to eat it and drink it every day so that it will hold you up. It'll uphold you. It'll sustain you throughout your life. And what?
When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay, praise the Lord. Let's keep going.
So as such, he is also the superior and enduring high priest who offers himself as the final and complete.
So superior and enduring, that means the priests in the Old Testament were not superior because they all sinned. This high priest, Jesus, never sinned. Amen. So he's superior. Amen.
Amen.
And the priests in the Old Testament died. But Jesus says, behold, I was him who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And so he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He never dies. Amen.
Amen.
So that's why he's superior to the priest, the Levitical priesthood. Amen.
Amen.
Because Melchizedek never dies. Okay, read that again.
So as such, he is also the superior and enduring high priest who offers himself as the final and complete sacrifice to restore sinful humanity to fellowship with God the Father through Jesus.
Okay.
The heavenly sanctuary has been opened up to us.
Isn't that something to praise and thank the Lord for? Because the sanctuary in the kingdom of heaven is opened up to us to where we can get into that sanctuary to be right around the throne of God. Okay, go ahead.
And we may enter the presence of the Holy God. Chapter 10, verse 1 through 22. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect.
Okay, we're not going to go through 1 through 22. But that right there shows, if you read that, brothers and sisters out there, well, you'll see that this is matches up with what I'm saying here. Okay, and then continue on.
And so you could say that worship is the celebration, and it is the celebration and extension of God's covenant with his people.
Right, we have to celebrate our salvation and our ability to be able to worship God and to enter into the throne, right around the throne, and to communicate with him and to have him communicate with us. There's so many things that people should be thankful for and love Jesus for. He did all this for us. Amen?
Amen.
He gave us the power to... He created us, and then he sustains us if we let him. Okay? And then what else? So in other words, Christ is more necessary. But you don't realize how necessary Christ is until you read the word like we're reading here. He's necessary for you to be sustained or be upheld until the end, until you die. Okay, then what?
Through his obedience, Jesus has brought us into a new and better covenant.
Right, the new and better covenant. The old covenant never gave the word to us to where it's written on our heart. And it never gave us a promise that all of our sins would be removed once and for all. Because we cannot sin anymore. And he gives us the power to be saved and have all of our sins washed away. And then for us to keep sustained or upheld to not sin any longer. And so That never happened before. This is a better covenant. Amen?
Amen.
It's better than which was written on stones, because that could never be written on your heart, nor was the Spirit living in you to uphold you, to sustain you until the time that you leave your body and step up into the kingdom of God. So this is why we should love the Lord, because He did this for us. He created us. He sustains us. And then He enters into us, which gives us the power, or the sustaining power, to continue on to the end. Then what? Because it's His Word. He, the Word, sustains us. Then what?
Chapter 8, verse 6 and verse 13.
Okay.
6, but now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Yeah, better promises. It's much better that we don't have to just read the Word and not be able to have the power to keep it, right?
Right.
And then every year, even the priests had to offer up for all the congregation, because they kept sinning, and they couldn't stop it. But now we can. We can and are perfect if you're being sustained by His Word. If you're being upheld by God's Word as a Christian, how could you be any more perfect? Amen?
Amen.
So any of these false prophets that are telling you who is perfect, not them, that's for sure, okay? But you must not go after their example. Go after what the Lord is telling you. And what I'm telling you is what the Lord says. All right, then what?
Verse 13. In that He saith, a new covenant, He hath made the first old.
Yeah, because the people of the Lord back then broke His covenant. And so it just doesn't exist anymore. Okay, so He had to make a new covenant in order, and He gave us a better covenant so that He helps us. When the Lord came, then He went up into heaven, and then He comes down and lives in us, and He helps us to make it. Amen?
Amen.
Without His help, we're nothing. We can never make it. All right? The flesh is weak, but the powerful Spirit of God, the Word of God, upholds us because it lives in us because we read it. You get a guilty complex because you don't? You're the loser, okay? You're the loser. You're a big-time loser if you know the truth and you don't do what it says, then you're like the fool that builds a shack upon the earth rather than digging down deep and building a foundation and building it with solid rock. Okay? Then what?
Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Right, so the Old Testament, we still use the examples of it and everything, and we use it to show us that the Messiah is coming. It shows us 33 prophecies is coming of the Messiah, and it tells us what the New Testament is going to be, and what the New Covenant is going to be, and that He lives in us. All right, continue on, please.
This is a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. It's impossible.
Yeah, but this is the kingdom of man. All this down here is going to be destroyed. But what a wonderful thing to praise and thank the Lord for, that we're going into His kingdom. He redeemed us to enter into His kingdom. That a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Nothing can destroy it. No guys walking around with briefcases up there with A-bombs in there or H-bombs, whatever. We don't have to worry about that kingdom being destroyed. We are secured if we make it to the end, if we continue on. We're going to be secure. That's eternal security, is once you cross into the promised land. Okay, go ahead.
Chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may...
Yeah, the grace means power. Let us have power. What?
Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Yeah, that means may we have God power, the Word of God living in us, that we may serve the Lord. Then what? Serve the Lord what?
With reverence and godly fear.
Right, because we know that we were never able to sustain ourselves before the Spirit of God was living in us, and therefore we know that we have fear because we don't want to lose that power by disobeying His Word. Okay, then what?
God's servants of old trusted Him to bring this hope to reality. And the witness of this communion encourages us to run after or pursue the same hope. Actually, the living God is the author of Hebrews. He reminds us that he's awesome in his righteous judgment. Through Christ, we are able to enter the joyful assembly that worships in his presence.
Mm. Through Christ, we're able to do what?
To enter the joyful assembly that worships in his presence.
Yeah, we're able to go up into the throne. There's this elders up there that are around the throne. We're up there worshiping with them.
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
That's something to love the Lord for. Amen?
Amen.
He makes the kingdom of heaven accessible to us. All right, then what?
He reminds us that he's awesome in his righteous judgment. Through Christ, we are able to enter the joyful assembly that worships in his presence. So there are things that you can read in Hebrews that give insight on worship.
It'll give you insight. I'm going to list a thing that gives you insight of why you should worship the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
One is to worship. We need a heart that is soft and pure.
Yeah. If you don't have a heart that's soft and pure to worship towards the Lord, well, then you can't worship. But then what?
Chapter 3, verse 8 through 11.
No, just keep reading.
Okay, and then
let
chapter
them
9.
Look that up.
Okay, chapter 9, verse 14. And 2.
9, verse 14. Look it up.
And 2, we enter God's throne room to worship without restriction. Chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Here's another insight.
Okay, read that.
Okay. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
The evil conscience goes away when you're doing everything the Lord tells you to do. Okay, then come on.
Here's another insight. It's impossible to please God without faith. So faith is the actual foundation for true worship. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 2. Faith is the foundation for true worship. Another is holiness and obedience are important expressions of worship. Chapter 12, verse 14 and 25.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth.
That was Moses, or the prophets, then what?
Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
Right, you will not be able to escape because God is good and God is love, but he also kills. And he doesn't care for people that don't listen to what he says. Okay, then what?
Another one is that God deserves
another reason to praise the Lord for because of the fact that we can worship. That is what?
That God deserves our worship in holy fear and awe. Chapter 12, verse 28.
Keep going.
Okay. So when we read the Bible, we need to praise God for his word, which has come to us in many ways or diverse ways. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, and chapter 4, verse 12. His constant, unchanging character.
Okay,
these
read those two.
Okay.
I read 12, 4, okay. Verse 1.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That's how it upholds us. Okay, then what else?
His constant, unchanging character. These are insights to worship the Lord.
Yes, because he never changes. He's good and he sustains you if you'll just read him and concentrate on him. Keep your mind focused on him. In your heart and soul. Amen?
Amen.
So then what?
His unchanging character, it's constant. Chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. And chapter 2, verse 10.
Can I read chapter 2, verse 10?
Okay. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things.
See, he made everything, created all things. Then what?
In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. In chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Another insight to worship the Lord.
He never changes. You can depend on the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He's our dependable friend. Okay? Then what?
Another insight to worship the Lord is Jesus who died for all the people of the world. Chapter 2, verse 9.
Yeah, it's for all those who will receive his salvation. Remember, 2, verse 9.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels.
For a while. For a while. And what?
for the suffering of death.
If you read the Greek, it says a little lower than the angels for a while. Just for a little while. Then what?
Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death.
By the power of God, should taste death, what?
For every man.
All right, then what?
All those who will accept him. Another insight is Jesus who suffered death so that he could break the devil's power over us. Chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same.
Yeah, so, you know, where all these false prophets are saying that he had special kind of blood, that he had the blood of God. Blood, God doesn't have any blood. And so he had to come and take on the what? To take on flesh and blood. Read it, please.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, right. He also himself.
So he, Jesus, also had to do what?
Likewise took part of the same.
Took part of having flesh, human flesh, and human blood. Amen? Okay, so he didn't have God's blood. Okay, because he was a man. And anyone that says that he didn't come in the flesh is Antichrist. Anyone that says that Jesus did not have human blood and human flesh is an Antichrist. Now, this is what John Hagee says, and this is what I believe. There's so many of them that I've heard say that. Hagee is the most recent one that I've heard say that. Don't believe him. He's an Antichrist. According, not to me, but to the Bible here, okay? Then what?
That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Right, so if he didn't come with human flesh and human blood, he wouldn't have and died, he wouldn't have the power to destroy the Satan's hold on us. Because he did that, he proved to us that by having the Spirit of God in us will cause us to be able to endure all things and to be able to be upheld by his word as he was. As Jesus was. He was upheld by the Spirit. That, remember, the Word of God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it is the eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Another insight is Jesus, our merciful and faithful High Priest. Chapter 2, verse 17.
Oh, what a merciful High Priest. What a way, a reason to worship him. Then what? It said that's an insight. He's a High Priest. Okay, after the order of Melchizedek. He never ends. Okay, go ahead.
Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren.
In all things, he was made like human beings, with the blood and the bone and the flesh, and he hurt and he was tempted in every single way. Then what?
That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Another insight is God's promise that believers will enter his place of rest that's here on earth and continues on in eternity.
I see that my time is up right now, but make sure you tune in tomorrow because we're going to complete this book of Hebrews. We haven't even made it through the first chapter yet, but I'll guarantee you that you're going to experience new life by listening to these tapes. Now, in order for the first step, in order to have power over sin, Satan, and to have the power of God living in you, to where you can and have the power over sin, Satan, your flesh, to death, hell, and the grave, is you've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you with his Father by the Spirit. And that'll happen right now, if you'll just say this simple prayer to the Lord and have faith that he is everything that he said he is, and he'll sustain you. You're going through rough times just like all the rest of us, but we're inside the Lord, and the Lord went through all the rough times and he wants us to go through them as well. But he wants to help us go through the rough times. So just say this prayer to him. And that'll begin now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul, for inviting me into your kingdom, into your family, into the presence of the Holy Father. And I thank you, Lord, for now encompassing me around and about with angels to uphold me in your spirit. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. You didn't turn me away because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I just raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord. And let me know if you were saved by this tape. Now, Sharon, you've given four ways, everyone out there in Radio Land, on how to receive a copy of this tape, number 203. Everything paid, postage and everything.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for part 102, about to have God's life living in you. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.